It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 646. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and Facebook, facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com or visit instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. Ticket sales for the IT Owners Compass have been incredible. You do not want to get locked out. If you want to attend the IT Owners Compass, it is in Chicago, August 24th through the 26th. You can get your tickets at itocompass.com. You want to get your tickets now because already we had 25 tickets reserved for priority seating. They're gone. If you're thinking of going, don't waste any time. Go to the website, get your tickets. You are going to enjoy it. We have taken the conference to another level. We're going to help you navigate your IT business. Today, I'm recording this on Saturday afternoon. I have three main topics. Some insight into the Windows 10 Insider Preview and some of the features that are coming. I want to talk about Synology's new virtual machine manager. And we're going to talk about advanced email troubleshooting using online tools like MX Toolbox, but not the traditional option. There's a couple others you can get help in analyzing headers. So Thursday last week, I had so many clients I had to visit. I had extra work. One of my biggest clients, I had to be on site where actually helping orchestrate the training and helping with just so many things. I had another client I had to do a walkthrough for a new office that they're relocating. I had remote work that I had to take care of. When I got home, I was wiped. And that's when I decided, let's record this on Saturday. So that's how we came about Saturday. And I don't mind mixing that up a little bit because not everybody can join live on Thursday evenings. As some of you are here today, maybe can't traditionally make it on a Thursday night, you get an opportunity on Saturday to catch this live. So let's dive in. It's a Microsoft Windows blog on all of the insider previews that are coming out right now. And I used to be part of the insider preview program, but that was so disruptive on my test system. When you join that program, which is free and it's very easy to do from within Windows 10, now you are at the mercy of constant updating, constant builds. I was in a perpetual state of updating almost every couple days and I couldn't take it anymore. And I redid my test unit and did not invoke the insider's preview because I had to stop being tormented and tortured with these reboots and long upgrades. And one time there was a problem. I had to back it out. They pushed a preview that kind of bricked my computer. Enough pain and suffering, and I decided to put it back to normal. So what's coming? And this is based on preview build 17074. And I know there's newer ones, but this link that I'm going to have for the first link in today's show is going to talk about a lot of the base improvements for Windows 10. Microsoft, clearly, they are all in with Microsoft Edge browser because a lot of these improvements are to Microsoft Edge. Yesterday, I got to tie in a client whose system is redone. They are a remote salesperson for one of our clients. They call me. Their hard drive had died, and she went to Staples and had them do the hard drive and reload Windows 10 from scratch. They messed up installing Office for her. I had to uninstall that and then go to her Microsoft account and download the proper version of uninstall. I don't understand something. Here's a store that they installed the Office home and student version, which doesn't include Outlook, and my client clearly purchased Office 365 Personal, which is the full suite of Office and has Outlook. So she's trying to get her work email with Outlook and couldn't find it. Then she says to me, what is this Edge that keeps coming up? Please get rid of it. So I remoted in. I fixed Office. I got her set up with her work email and her personal email combined. And I kind of hid Edge and made sure the old Internet Explorer, which is what she wanted as her default browser, and Chrome, and made sure that they were working. But I have heard that from so many people. Now, I'm starting to also see some clients that because they bought their system, they are now used to Edge and they're using Edge because we haven't weighed in helping them. And since they've been using Edge for a little bit, they're staying the course and they don't mind. But most clients, they hate Edge. They don't want it. They don't want it to be their default PDF viewer. They're trying to make Edge so much more than it is. So what are they doing? Auto-fill cards on web forms. Edge can now save and automatically fill your card information on payment web forms. A new reading experience for EPUB, PDF, and reading view. I, on my test system, may embrace that just to see what it's all about for what they're doing with Edge, just to get some experience. So if clients are using it and they have issues or they have problems, we're going to be able to support it. Grammar tools for EPUB books and reading view. A new full screen reading experience now. They're improving the roaming and process and notes across devices. They fixed the layout for EPUB, so clearly there was a problem with that. They've made a lot of improvements to the PDF viewer. So I'm going to take a look at that. It's hard to break away from Adobe Acrobat Reader because that's the standard. They own PDFs. Breaking away from Adobe is not easy. So we got to see what they like. Here's Tim in the chat. He likes Edge. It is his primary browser at the moment, and it plays nice with Windows dark theme. So that's interesting. They have an improved library experience coming, because remember, they want Edge to be everything. Audio narrated books, favorite bar improvements, options to never save passwords for domains, autofill passwords when in private. Wait a second, I have these things in other browsers. So they're finally catching up. Use extensions when in private mode, variable fonts, vertically dock the Microsoft Edge development tools. A lot of concentration on Edge. They're doing Windows shell improvements. This is one of the biggest features. It's going to be called quiet hours. There's certain times when you don't want to be interrupted or just need to stay focused on what you're doing. So to become more productive, they've introduced quiet hours. With this build, you can automatically choose the times you don't want to be bothered. You know what? Is there an option to make that 24 hours all the time? I don't want my operating system to bother me about anything. So let's see how that works. But there's a quiet time, sort of like do not disturb on your phone. It will automatically turn on when you're duplicating your display, and never get interrupted doing presentations again. See, this is the problem with Windows 10. And if you're presenting and you get some of these annoyances that come up and it disrupts you in the middle of a presentation, you got to have this. It will turn on automatically when you're playing a full screen exclusive DirectX game. Now, that doesn't bother me, but for you gamers, that's going to be important. You can set and schedule the quiet hours, customize your own priority list so that your important people and apps always break through when quiet hours are on. Very similar to the iOS on your phone, where anybody that's in my favorites can break through and I will receive that phone call. An example. So my wife is one of my favorites. And if I'm asleep and my phone's on Do Not Disturb and she's maybe coming home late from work with and has an emergency, that phone call will ring, even though I have it set to Do Not Disturb. So I like that. You got to have exclusions to be able to allow priority contacts. Making your folders more discoverable. For those upgrading to Windows 10 for the first time, they're making it easy to navigate to things you care about by showing links to the documents, pictures, folders, and the start menu. So they're going to try to make the transition a little easier. Why didn't they do that when Windows 10 first came out? Okay. Near share improvements. I don't know if I want this. If you're in the vicinity of another computer and you want that on for sharing, I don't know if I want that automatically. That reminds me of the feature that was introduced in Windows 10. Hey, we want to share your private Wi-Fi passwords with all your friends on Facebook. No. Okay. Improve storage settings. This will be interesting. If you head to settings, you'll find that disk cleanup functionality has been rolled over into storage settings. Thank you again, Microsoft, for moving more things out of control panel that I like, and let's put them into your Metro interface on Windows 10. So now they've dummied down and made it more childlike options for improving and cleaning up your storage. So now my clients can delete important things faster. That's how I see that. I mean, I'm glad they're doing it, but I don't know. They're making it just still a little too easy to delete a lot of things that my clients may not want deleted, and they're going to be led down that path. Sound settings improvement. This is going to be important for all the gamers, people who need that sound. There's a new sound settings page, a one-stop shop for all your audio needs. Well, let's see if that's the case. They're definitely making improvements there. Manage app execution aliases from settings. Input improvement. So they're recognizing more handwriting. Now, this is going to be important with everybody with Surface Pros and tablets in the handwriting experience and being able to control more Windows functions from the handwriting. I can see that. We want better handwriting recognition and lots of updates to that. Improve navigation view. They've stabilized and added animations for item headers, pane opening, item selection events, and they fixed several bugs with the back button in navigation view. Constant improvements. Important note about the camera app. Some insiders may have noticed changes in the Windows camera app. You will get a more personalized behavior, like remembering the last camera and scene used. Handling two cameras simultaneously and more resolution options are available too. Now, this might be interesting for me as I have multiple cameras, although I'm focused mainly on one when I'm recording. That's going to be interesting for me where I absolutely have multiple cameras. And if that's going to help me get that better for my live shows, hey, that's great. There is a long list, I'm not even going to go into it, of fixes. Lots and lots and lots of fixes. This is a link that you're going to want to review. And it's also, if you've never accessed this Windows blog, this is where you're going to get a lot of information on not just updates, but feedback from the what's happening on the insider preview. And you want to get a jump on these features before it is rolled out to your clients. It is very important to become used to these so you know how to react and know how to help and get ahead of it. You want to be proactive and not have new features come and be crushed. Sort of like we were caught off guard by a lot of Windows 10 Fall Creators Update things that we just weren't doing here on our test network or on our personal machines that we had to constantly deal with our clients. And you've seen the last several shows, I've been introducing constant Windows 10 Fall Creators Preview fixes. Well, the same thing's going to happen here when they push this update again. There's going to be more pain and suffering because if they add 10 things, they're going to break 4. And we got to be prepared for the things that they're going to break. So stay ahead of the game here on this. Next, Synology last week announced a virtual machine manager that lets you run almost any operating system on your NAS box. But you need a more powerful Synology. So the typical Synologies that we've been selling to a lot of our smaller clients, they may not pass muster for the specs that's needed. So the first link is from TechRadar with this announcement that from the Synology interface, you can download an app called Virtual Machine Manager. The second link here is the link about the add-on package and the different requirements that it's going to take for you to have the right specs if you want to do this. It's very cool to be able to spin up an operating system like that virtually right from your network attached storage device. That is very cool. I like the direction that they're going here, the Synology operating system and a lot of these add-on apps. And if you haven't experienced the add-on apps, go into your Synology interface and take a look at all of the apps and start reviewing what they do. You can set up VPNs. You got so many backup options. You got media services delivery of all kinds of content, whether it's music, video, pictures. There are so many options now. You can host your own little web server. There's so many things you can do. It's a very powerful environment. And to bring the virtual machine manager, it's definitely the direction you want to be. There are very few DSs in the different series here. So you want to take a look at that. They're mostly higher end because you need lots of power for the Synology. So the typical home user Synology device won't be able to run this app. That second Synology link that I have has all of the models listed that you can run this virtual machine manager. And if anybody who's listening hears this and you are already doing it, send me a review, record an MP3 file and send it to me, or send me an email. Let me know. Give me some feedback on this. I have not tested or ran the virtual machine manager. I don't have a machine that can do it. So I'd love to get some feedback on this. And it may make my decision-making on the model based on the client and their size and where they may, if they need this. And that's why I want you to be aware of this, because as you're sizing the network attached storage for a client with all these new features, be informed of what series Synology hardware will allow these different apps to run. And that may come into your decision when you're sizing something. Next and last section for today's show. A client yesterday contacted me about a message that he sent at 6:30 p.m. the night before. And this is a desktop that's always on, but it wasn't delivered until 10:30 a.m. in the morning. But when I look at his sent items, it didn't go out to 10:30. So was it stuck in his outbox? And we don't know, because people don't normally go to their outbox and check. It's not a constant situation. It only happens sometimes when he notices. This particular person has a personal domain that was set up years and years ago that I inherited. So one of the things I did on these messages, I remoted in. And the first thing you want to be able to do is know how to get the email's header. And this is a great link from MX Toolbox that explains how to get email headers. It's really easy. In Outlook, let's pick 2016. You open up the message, and then you go File, and then Properties, and then you get Internet headers. And it's a box that you can scroll down, highlight the whole header, because just forwarding the message to you does not get you the entire header. As a matter of fact, this is a big help when you're working with your hosted email provider and you need to send details about a message where maybe the spam's coming from and how it got the ranking and how it got through. You need to cut and paste the header into the message before you forward it. So anytime someone's having a problem with any kind of email or delivery, the first thing I want to do is remote in, get access to the message that they're talking about, get the header, copy, paste it to the email, and then send it to myself. Well, something I found yesterday is that header you can go through. How about getting a great explanation of what's going on and any errors that may be in there? How about a website that analyzes the email header? And again, this is an MX Toolbox link for analyzing email headers. This is a must-have as a favorite in your browser. So when you capture one of these headers, you can check it out. This led me to some potential DNS problems with this domain. One of the things I found, there was no SPF record. Another one I found is DMARC, an SOA issue that's common. There's a couple details that after this show, I am literally scheduled to work with Ken, my tech, who, by the way, is doing better, but I'm going to have a link in there that if you can help him out on his GoFundMe for helping him through this. He had that brain surgery a few weeks ago. He's doing great, but he only works a few hours for me and could use some help. He hasn't been able to do any other work, and that would be a big help if you have some extra and you can help out. That link is going to be in my show notes. Anyway, Ken and I, we're going to deep dive some of these DNS issues, and then I got to make sure that I have access to GoDaddy that's hosting the domain name and get in there and make the adjustments just in case. Even if this doesn't solve the problem, these are things that I've identified that should be corrected. And they're tools that you should have for any time you have a new client. That domain is so important. There are so many great websites where you can have it analyzed and see what issues they're having with DNS. Are their MX records? How's everything set? And it's a great way to be on top of that. As a matter of fact, when I'm visiting a new client for the first time, and next Friday, I actually got an appointment with a brand new referral that I'm looking forward to. And it's an auto repair shop that also has a gas station attached. So definitely a new type of client, but great referral. I'm set up to do some things because they're going to be changing their internet. So what I'm doing before my first meeting, since I have their domain, I'm doing a recon. I'm going to learn, hey, who's hosting their email? How's the DNS set up? Where is it pointing? Do they have a website? Who's hosting it? You can get a great recon before you even set foot on a new client. And it's going to be very impressive when they see that I'm armed with all this great information. These are things that you should have in your tool bag ready to roll for supporting. We don't know what the problem is for this email delay, but we do know there's a couple DNS changes that we should make, and I'm going to log in today. I haven't had a chance last night. I'm going to log in later today, and I want to make sure that these aren't user-inflicted problems. Did my user accidentally create a rule or something that could be delaying email? Don't know. Possible. But I got to eliminate that. Some are self-inflicted wounds and client problems. You can't rule that out all the time, no matter how smart we know the client is. you have to protect them from themselves and check out some basic things. So I'm going to do a good look on Outlook. The client had to use his email yesterday, and I didn't have the opportunity. I have to launch Outlook in safe mode. I have to go through all of our standard Outlook troubleshooting procedures just to make sure. But my son totally redid this system not too long ago. This is a fresh Windows 10 install on a fresh SSD with a fresh Outlook Office 365 install. So to have this come up now as a problem, I'm very surprised with delayed emails. That's why I'm looking to other things. And if these DNS problems have been legacy for all this time, for years, why are they rearing their ugly head now? And that's why I needed to capture the headers, because I could be opening up a ticket with SureWeb to have them weigh in on this, because we're talking an email being delayed going from one SureWeb client to another. I can't eliminate SureWeb out of the equation here for what where the problem is. So these are things that I'm spending my Saturday afternoon working on. That is it for today's show. I hope everybody had a good time, and I hope you learned something. Please take a moment. If you haven't tried Instant House Call, go to instanthousecall.com. Download the trial. Give it a try. Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro. By the way, would you like to meet Fabrice in Chicago? There will be an opportunity. As a matter of fact, little birdie told us he could be announcing the new 7.0 at the ITO Compass. Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro, we use it almost every day. Computer Business Kit version 3 from Bryce over at TechNibble. This is the definitive forms that you need for starting your business. And of course, we cannot, where do you host your tech website? And you want to go to techsitebuilder.com. Matt will make sure you have the best website, the best search engine optimization for your domain and your website. This is how you build your website. That's it. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed. And I will be back, hopefully, regular time next Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. So I'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.